This podcast brought to you by Gowan Canada, makers of Edge Microactive pre-emergent herbicide.
620 CKRM is proud to be your voice for everything ag. Welcome to Sask Ag Today with your host, Ryan Young.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Sask Ag Today. It's brought to you by Milligan Bio, the leading buyer of heated and damaged canola in Saskatchewan, wants to buy your seed. Visit MilliganBio.com. And the Arcola Co-op, you're at home here on Highway 13 in Arcola. On today's show, it was a good week for canola and wheat futures. We'll have more from PI Financial's Adam Bacallo. Some farmers in Saskatchewan and Alberta have either started seeding or are still waiting. And Doug Falconer in the Ag Review segment will have an update on the Competition Bureau report from the side of the companies involved, Bunge and Viterra, as both companies released a joint statement about that report. And the farm weather with Phil Spivak is in its usual spot at the bottom of the hour. First up on Sask Ag Today is my chat with Adam Bacallo on a look on the canola and wheat futures, and they did pretty well this week.
This is Sask Ag Today with 620 CKRM Ag News Director Ryan Young.
Sask Ag Today is brought to you by Johnston's Grain, your first and last stop for grain pricing and crop protection, and Farm Fresh Water. To fix your water problems, visit farmfreshwater.ca. Canola futures had a good week as the month of April is just about wrapped up. Future commodity advisor with PI Financial, Adam Bacallo, says the May canola contract was up about $14 a ton on the week.
So the May contract is going to be expiring here. Really, it is not the active month now. The July is kind of the main contract month. But nonetheless, we did still see the front month on the May contract increase. We have seen a couple things on the soybean side to kind of note. You know, the bulls kind of must really overcome the liquidation for the May contracts, as actually open interest in the May for soybeans is still relatively high, so we could see some long liquidation over the next few days before first notice date on Tuesday. So this just means that we might still see some selling in the soybean market, which maybe could spill over to canola kind of in the coming weeks.
The May Minneapolis wheat contract did well this week, and so did Chicago wheat, according to Bacallo.
When actually talking about the Chicago wheat, we've seen Chicago prices are set for the largest weekly gain in 2 years, actually. So that's a pretty big move here that we've seen recently. And on the May Minneapolis contract for the week, we're up approximately 54 cents a bushel to where we sit over at about $7 right now as of today. So the May contract, again, like I mentioned on canola, is going to be expiring here next week. So the July will be kind of the front month. It seems like we might, maybe we'll see a bit of profit taking coming into the weekend, but as we see kind of everything right now, the forecast models for wheat really did not show any significant changes for moisture in southwest Kansas. But the rest of the Great Plains is expected to see some precipitation, kind of noting some other areas, southern Russia and eastern Ukraine do remain dry, but there are hints of kind of on next week to forecast some showers. So the dryness, as well as just, I think, some short covering on the wheat side has been causing this rally. So like I always say to clients, right now the trend is your friend. But at this point, the risk to reward to be buying at this level, I don't think it's suitable. But for farms that are maybe thinking about pricing or hedging some new crop using options, I think this rally does give a good opportunity for that.
Recently released GDP numbers for the United States was a factor affecting the markets this week.
There was some lower GDP numbers for the U.S. kind of this week. There was expected inflation data that came out today for the U.S. as well, too. So that's kind of a bit of an upbeat for really the stock market in general. And as well, too, this week, there's some major U.S. technology companies that are reporting that just kind of sets the tone for the stock market and maybe kind of the markets in general, too, with Meta or Facebook, Microsoft, Google as well, too. So we're seeing just some volatility in kind of those markets, and that might spill over to commodities or currencies as well, too.
Picalo says there could be some volatility next week as the current May canola contract expires and moves to July.
I am looking at hedging some new crop canola as well, too. I do think $14 to $15 a bushel is going to be a good price kind of this year, depending on, again, a weather event might happen, and, you know, that's where, you know, we could see prices go higher. And on the wheat side of the market, like I mentioned, I think given this rally here, it'd be a good idea for producers to consider selling. And if they're not really sure on their crop this year yet, and whether it's, you know, too dry or something like that, you know, maybe that's when the options kind of come into their marketing plan.
Adam Picalo is a future commodity advisor with PI Financial based in Winnipeg. We'll take a break, but Sask Ag Today will return, and we'll have a look at one farmer who's started seeding. He farms around the southern part of the province, as well as what's going on over to our neighbors in Alberta. You're listening to Sask Ag Today on 620 CKRM.
We're back with Sask Ag Today with Ryan Young on 620 CKRM.
This portion of Sask Ag Today is brought to you by Municipal Hail Insurance, proudly serving farmers. See municipalhail.ca. For regions like the Northeast, seeding won't begin for a while, but there are reports of farmers to the south that have started. Chair of Sask Week, Jake Legui, is one of them. He farms in the Fillmore area and says this is the earliest he has ever seeded.
So I'm not sure what to make of that. It's nice to have some early progress and have some decent seeding conditions early like this, but at the same time, that also means it's pretty warm and pretty dry pretty early. So definitely we're hoping for some rain to come here at some point soon. Our crop rotation this year is pretty standard. We grow durum, canola, large green lentils, flax, and hard red spring wheat. So far we've been planting durum. We're going to be switching to spring wheat and large green lentils later on today and tomorrow. So things are progressing pretty well.
He says he's about 10% of the way through. Traditionally, the south and western parts of the province start seeding earlier than their peers to the north and east. Meanwhile, seeding in Alberta is close to getting underway. Crop specialist Harry Brooks says the soil is heating up quickly and he's noticed some activity in fields in central Alberta this week. But the recurring theme, to no one's surprise, is that the soil is very dry, with many areas in desperate need of rain.
Locally, I'm seeing they're certainly out in the field. I get a little concerned, though, when I see any kind of tillage. Like, there's a fair bit of vertical tillage is done nowadays. And, yeah, you're bringing a little bit of dirt up to the surface to speed up the warming of the soil. But it also is kind of drying out that precious little moisture that we got over the winter. So I'm a little concerned about moisture conditions at the moment. I think everybody is. But not seeing anyone seeding right around Stettler here, but there certainly is a lot of activity, you know, with harrowing just to get dirt to the surface and also application of some pre-emergent herbicides for wild oat control using some of the old chemistries to try and combat resistant wild oats.
Brooke has heard from other producers that it's the same story, dry.
Well, I've been talking to some guys further afield, and it's the same story. Like heading to Wainwright today and talking to the guys out there, it looks like it's really, really dry. Once again, the promised rains, at least in a band through central Alberta, there was a lot of promise in them, but they were mostly empty. So I'm hoping southern Alberta got a little bit of moisture because they were so, so dry. We all were dry going into the fall. And we had, you know, below normal snow melt. Our sloughs, most of them are dry. The ones that have water in them, they'll be dry within a month. So it's just, it's not a pretty picture.
That's crop specialist Harry Brook in Alberta. Up next is Ag Review with Doug Faulkner. Like I said off the top of the show, he'll have an update on the Competition Bureau's report from the perspective of Bunge and Viterra as they released a joint statement this week. All that and more, Sask Ag Today will return right after these messages.
You're tuned in to Sask Ag Today on your voice of Saskatchewan, 620 CKRM.
Today's Ag Review with Doug Faulkner of GX94 is brought to you by Karst Holdings in Assiniboia and Schlamps Integra Tire in Grenfell, your locally owned Integra Tire dealers, and Migraine Exchange. Ready to market your 2023 crop? Head over to migraineexchange.com and try their low-risk grain auctions.
Bunge and Viterra are pleased the Competition Bureau of Canada completed its report on the proposed merger between the two grain companies. In a joint statement on Tuesday, the companies acknowledged the Bureau had no concerns regarding competition for grain purchasing in eastern Canada and most of western Canada, specifically for port terminal operations, for meal sales, and for sales of the vast majority of downstream refined and specialty oil products. Both also acknowledged the Bureau's concerns of reduced competition for purchasing canola in areas around Bunge's Altona, Manitoba, and Nipawin, Saskatchewan canola crushing facilities. Concerns related to canola oil sales to a small segment of customers in eastern Canada, and Bunge's minority stake in G3. The companies believe those concerns are misplaced and will provide information to Transport Canada and the Bureau to address those points. Once the regulatory approvals are obtained, the merger is expected to close in mid-2024. Early expectations point to increased Canadian grain production in 2024-25, which should cut into corn imports from the United States. That's according to a report from the U.S. Department of Agriculture's attaché in Ottawa. Total Canadian grain production, which includes wheat, durum, barley, corn, and oats, is forecast to increase by 4.9% on the year at 61.4 million metric tons, according to the USDA's Foreign Agricultural Service. Wheat production is expected to hit 33.67 million tons, which would be up by 1.7 million tons on the year, but below Agriculture and Agri-Food Canada's own projection of 34.59 million metric tons. For barley, the attaché expects total production to hit 8.99 million metric tons, which would be up by about 100,000 tons on the year, but still 500,000 tons below the AAFC forecast. With expected improvements in forage and grazing supplies, along with increased domestic grain production, Canadian corn imports are forecast to drop to 2.3 million metric tons, from an estimated 3.3 million tons in the current marketing year. About 1 in 5 samples of commercial milk in the U.S. tested positive for traces of bird flu in a national survey, with a greater proportion coming from areas with infected herds. That's according to the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. However, there is no evidence that the milk poses a danger or that a live virus is present. The FDA says that additional testing is required to determine whether the intact pathogen is still present and if it remains infectious. Earlier this week, the FDA said that if the milk is heated to a specific temperature, it remains safe for human consumption as the process kills harmful bacteria and viruses. And that's today's Ag Review. I'm Doug Fold.
It's your Sask Ag Today weather on your voice of Saskatchewan, 620 CKRM.
The official 620 CKRM Farm Precision Weather is brought to you by Shepherd Realty in Regina, specializing in farm and ranch real estate in Saskatchewan. Call Harry, Justin, or Devin at 352-1866. And Moose Jaw Truck Shop, the number one choice for any diesel engine repair. Drop in, no appointment necessary, or visit moosejawtruckshop.com. I'm here with Phil Spivak from Precision Weather, and Phil, this morning it was kind of a mix of sun and cloud, the best way I can describe it, but according to the forecast, it looks like it's mostly sunny, and that's going to continue into this weekend.
Yeah, and that's, in this case, I'm using it more of as a timed mostly sunny, because the weather very often is going to be sunny, but there are going to be some clouds around. So at times we'll have a little more than mostly sunny and maybe more of a partly sunny. That'll be more of a short time from mid to late afternoon today through the early part of the evening when those clouds may take over. Most of the time, the sun easily wins out for a mostly sunny sky. And as the night goes on, once we shake that a little extra early cloudiness, we'll be mainly clear through the night. So overall, a very quiet weather pattern right through the weekend, right through the start of the week, too. Maybe a few showers, though, coming in as some cooler air drops in for the middle part of the week. So some uncertainty on that cool air. A lot of it sitting there, and it's going to be dropping down. The question remains how strong that cold air is. Does it hold on for more than a day or so for us? And I think there's at least a good chance for Tuesday, Wednesday cool, and then it may retreat. But we'll keep watch that as it unfolds over the next few days. For now, we're not cold at all. 20 degrees the high today, with winds a little gusty, up to 45 kilometers per hour. Down to 2 with a clear sky tonight and 14 tomorrow, a mostly sunny sky. 15 on Sunday, calling it partly to mostly sunny again. Periods of clouds at times, a little breeze each day. We're not going to be completely quiet in that regard, but the wind, not a huge factor for us. Partly sunny on Monday, 18. And I think we get into that cooler air briefly on Tuesday. We'll drop it off to 7 with a chance for some showers.
Thank you very much, Phil. Normal highs for this time of year, 15 degrees, the lows plus 1. Sun rose in Regina at 5:41 this morning, and the sun will set at around 8:12 this evening. Taking a look around the province, in Assiniboia, 17. Mooseman, Yorkton, and Melville, 19 degrees. Estevan and Weyburn are at 20. Saskatoon, 13 degrees, and Swift Current, 15. The hot spot in the province is a tie between Weyburn and Yellowgrass at 20.2 degrees, and the cold spot, which is a stark contrast, is in Stony Rapids at minus 6.5. In Regina, mainly sunny, north-northwest wind at 26 to 36 kilometers an hour, humidity at 24%, the temperature at 18 or 65 Fahrenheit, and the barometric pressure at 100.7 and rising. In Moose Jaw, partly cloudy sky, north-northeast wind at 30 to 42 kilometers an hour, the temperature at 17 degrees. Again in Regina, mainly sunny, north-northwest wind at 26 to 36 kilometers an hour, and the temperature at 18 degrees. Back in a moment.
Catch up with all your ag news anytime at saskagtoday.com. Now, back to Sask Ag Today with Ryan Young on 620 CKRM.
This portion of Sask Ag Today is brought to you by McDougall Auctioneers, where you're guaranteed the best buying and selling experience, McDougallAuction.com. And brought to you by Patterson Liquid Systems, experts in liquid fertilizer distribution. Fertilizer's just better when it's wetter. Patterson Liquid Systems, expect the best. The Wild Pig Summit was held this week in Brandon to help launch a 10-year strategy to control the feral pig population on the prairies, as well as parts of Ontario and BC. Animal Health Canada was one of the sponsors, and Erica Charlton is the director of the Emergency Management Division.
The idea was to bring all the right people to this room, to build awareness, to educate ourselves on what's happening in other jurisdictions with respect to research, communications, tools that are used in the field, bring us all together and start talking as a national voice and learning from each other and moving ahead. We've developed a wild pig strategy, so the goal is potentially eradication of wild pigs. So it's a 10-year strategy. We have to start thinking about how we're going to actually implement it. So there was a big groundswell to start bringing together experts and really start talking about it. And that's the impetus of the summit.
Wild pigs are concerning for two reasons. They cause a lot of damage to habitat, and they could be potential disease carriers.
Their rooting that they do and the foraging and disturbing crops, things like that. But the real risk is carriers of African swine fever more than anything. So the World Organization of Animal Health says that if you find a case of African swine fever in the country, regardless of its domestic pigs or feral, then you have trade implications and borders are closed. So there's a real concern from the commercial side that the risk that these animals pose.
African swine fever is a serious disease for domestic pigs and has killed millions of pigs in China, Southeast Asia, and Eastern Europe. There have been no cases in mainland North America, and there is a heavy emphasis on disease prevention through the ASF Animal Management Board.
There's a very huge working group of 200 or so people and subcommittees and working groups under that are moving plans and preparedness forward for African swine fever. And the wild pig file is just one piece of that. So it's been 5 or 6 years that the African Swine Fever Executive Management Board has been, since they've been struck.
It is very difficult to get an accurate number of wild pigs because the animals move at night and are experts in camouflage. But Charlton says there are a few positive signs.
I think some of the presentations we saw this morning, there was a sort of a lot more sightings and an idea that there were more of them on the landscape maybe in the past 5 years. And now folks are saying, oh, we're just not seeing the same numbers anymore. And so I think that there's something that's happening that's been useful. Manitoba was talking about the numbers that they're collecting and removing from the landscape, Saskatchewan as well. So it seems like that there's headway being made.
Delegates at the summit also went to the countryside outside of Brandon to observe some control methods.
We'll be out there in the environment. We'll be looking for signs for wild pig, and we'll be showing some of the materials and the tools and the technology, I guess, that's used out in the field to find these animals, to trap them, how it's all handled. So that'll be a great sort of a casual field trip kind of day where we can do some learning and just keep moving this forward. This is the beginning of conversation and relationship building with all the right people.
Erica Charlton with Animal Health Canada was one of the organizers of this week's Wild Pig Summit in Brandon, Manitoba. We'll take another break here, but Sask Ag Today will return right after these messages.
You're tuned in to Sask Ag Today on your voice of Saskatchewan, 620 CKRM.
This segment of Sask Ag Today is brought to you by Degelman Industries. Look to Degelman for the most reliable, dependable, engineered tough equipment on the market. And Arcola Building Supplies, small town lumberyard, big on service. ArcolaBuildingSupplies.com. MPs and senators are on a week-long break. When they get back next week, the Senate Banking Committee will continue its review of Bill S-243. It was introduced a couple of years ago by Senator Rosa Galvez. One description of this bill came from Liberal MP Ryan Turnbull. He says it's aimed at helping align Canada's financial system with the federal government's climate goals. Recently, Green Party leader Elizabeth May said it was time to get this bill passed 2 years after it was introduced. But the energy sector has concerns about this bill, and so do several groups involved with agriculture. The main concern is how this bill would impact future loans to farmers from their local banks and credit unions and even FCC. Here was a recent interaction between Independent Senator Hassan Youssef from Toronto and Dave Carey with the Agriculture Carbon Alliance.
I'm not here to doubt you or to challenge you that the farmers are not doing a lot of things to mitigate their climate change responsibility, but is there a way that this bill can mitigate some of the things that you're maybe overly anxious about that we could fix in regard to the legislation?
The concern that we have is we're not sure how does this fit in with all the other initiatives that are happening in the space. So there is a Sustainable Finance Action Council, which is amongst some of Canada's biggest banks looking at it. Farm Credit Canada, which is about, I think, $9 billion a year sort of capital that they lend to farmers, have their own initiative. We have the Canadian Sustainability Standards Board doing their own initiative. So I guess what we're trying to navigate is how do all these fit together and what is the output of that? What ends up happening when a farmer walks into their local credit union or bank or Farm Credit Canada to apply for a loan? How do all these different pieces of legislation, regulations, or policy direction actually fit on the farm? Perhaps there are ways to improve the bill, and you'll hear from other witnesses in the finance sector, which would be better positioned. What we're saying is from a farmer, how are they possibly going to navigate all of these changes at once? And then farmers also get very concerned about some of the data and disclosure, privacy disclosure agreements that they end up having to do when you're just divesting what you're doing on your farm on thousands of acres. So it's how do all these pieces fit together, and how does that make Canada stand up globally amongst our competitors? Because for the majority of our members, we're price takers. The price of commodities is set by the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. So we are constantly adapting to that, but we're seeing the United States invest tens and hundreds of millions of dollars in their agriculture sector to compensate farmers for not tilling their land. So it just, it's additive and it's compounding, where again, this is just another concern that we're hearing from farmers of how do I now navigate this on top of the half a dozen other examples I provided, Senator.
Once the Senate review of the bill is complete, it will head to the Commons for a vote. You're listening to Sask Ag Today on 620 CKRM. Coming up next is the market update and looking at some of the commodities here. They're up for the most part. Find out more right after the break.
Here's the market update with Ryan Young on 620 CKRM.
Grain prices at Viterra were up in early trading today. Canola is up $3.60 to $5.9782 a metric ton, and number one red spring wheat is up 66 cents at $3.2521, and the rest were unchanged. Durum $400.31, feed barley $232.58, chickpeas $9.9208, flax $6.2954, lentils $7.8750, oats $2.7132, yellow peas $4.7472, and feed wheat $2.3345. On the Minneapolis Grain Exchange, hard red spring wheat for May is up 9 cents at $7 a bushel. Coming up next is the Livestock Report. We'll hear the latest livestock quotes from Moose Jaw Heartland Livestock.
The Sask Ag Today Livestock Reports on your voice of Saskatchewan, 620 CKRM.
The livestock quotes are brought to you by the Weyburn Livestock Exchange. Call Weyburn Livestock at 842-4574. Now here are the latest livestock quotes.
Good afternoon. This is Travis Platt with Heartland Livestock Moose Jaw. This past week, we had our all-breed calf and yearling pre-sort with 1,400 heads showing up to another strong market. Starting off with the steers, we had 22 red and black steers weighing 516 at about 428.50. 30 red and black steers weighing 645 at about 407. 26 red and black steers weighing 595 at about 412.50. 15 red and black steers weighing 711 at about 383.50. And 15 char steers weighing 879 at about 315.25. On to the heifers. 15 red heifers at 521 at about 382. 43 black heifers at 593 at about 358. 35 red heifers at 687 about 339, 25 tan heifers at 763 about 324.50, 39 black heifers at 702 about 341, 21 char heifers weighing 920 pounds about 284.25. On to Thursday with our regular cow and bull sale, with over 500 heads showing up to one of the strongest cow markets in the Southwest. Them good cows are $1.75 to $1.85 with sales up to the high 90s. Medium cows are $1.50 to $1.75. Them canner cows are $1.15 to $1.35. Them feeder type cows are $1.90 to $2.10. Them good heiferettes are $2.10 to $2.40 with sales up to $2.50. And them good bulls are $1.85 to $1.95 with sales up to $2.05.50. That's the update for the week. And don't forget, if you have any marketing needs or looking to book in, don't be afraid to give us a call at 692-2385. This is Travis Platt reporting from Heartland Livestock Moose Jaw. Good day and good selling.
The latest pork prices are down $2.01 to $221.14 per CKG. Coming up, the Resource Report.
It's the Sask Ag Today Resource Reports on 620 CKRM. Here's Ryan Young.
Now the Resource Report, brought to you by Mazank Fuels, your local branded Petro-Canada wholesaler serving southern Saskatchewan for over 40 years. Fill up the tank, call Mazank, 306-721-6667. It was evident to the federal government as early as last October that Loblaw and Walmart might be holdouts to the Grocery Code of Conduct, jeopardizing the project's success. Documents obtained through access to information legislation shed new light on the federal government's efforts to convince the two retailers to sign on to the agreement. The Grocery Code of Conduct is intended to set out agreed-upon rules for negotiations between industry players, including retailers and suppliers. Government officials were working to get the retailers on board a couple of months before a December House of Commons meeting, where the two grocers said they couldn't sign the code as drafted because of concerns it could raise prices. On the markets, the TSX is up 100 points at 21,985. The Dow is up 208 points to 38,294. Oil is up 39 cents at $83.96 per barrel. And the Canadian dollar is at 73.10 cents U.S. And that's the Resource Report. If you missed any segment of the show, you can tune in to the on-demand Sask Ag Today podcast, brought to you by Gowan Canada. Gowan Canada understands the challenges growers face and takes pride in finding effective crop protection solutions. Visit GowanCanada.com to learn more. And that's going to do it for Friday's edition of Sask Ag Today. I'm Ryan Young. Have a nice day.
This podcast brought to you by Gowan Canada, makers of Edge Microactive Pre-Emergent Herbicide.